Parshas Matos.
If a person accepts upon himself a neder or a shvua, it's binding. And if a daughter, a younger daughter, takes a neder or a shvua, or if a married woman takes a neder or a shvua, so the father or the husband has the right to be mefer than a darim. So the pasuk introduces the parshas and darim with the expression ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. So Rashi quotes a comment from the Tanoim that Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes introduces his nevuas the same way the other prophets do. Koyamar Hashem kachatzos halayla niyotzei b'soch mitzroi. Koyamar Hashem is an expression that appears in the other Yecheskel and the other Nevi'im that introduce their prophecy by using that terminology, Koyamar Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu does the same. A few times in Chumash you find Koyamar Hashem. But Moisif Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level of Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevim. So the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level of Nevuah, that he sometimes introduces his prophecy by using the expression Ze HaDavor Asher Tziva Hashem. What exactly is the difference between Ze HaDavor and Koyamar Hashem? Why is Koyamar Hashem on a higher level? And how come sometimes when Moshe Rabbeinu introduces his nevuah by saying Koyamar Hashem, and sometimes he introduces it by saying Ze HaDavor Asher Tziva Hashem? So there's a beautiful explanation that's given by Rav Levi Yitzchok Berditchever in his Sefer HaChumash in the Kedushas Levi. He writes that if you look in Parshas Bahaloscha, the Torah describes the way all the other prophets deliver a nevuah. They see a chazon in a chalom, they have a dream, and they see a vision, and they have to interpret the vision using their own language. But the Ruach HaKodesh went in a state of Ruach HaKodesh. But each Navi has to interpret his chalom, his chazon, using his own words. That's why the Gemara makes a statement, Ein shnei nevi'im misnabi misignat echad. You never have two prophets who will say word for word exactly the same. If you have two nevi'im who deliver a nevuah word for word exactly the same, is biyodua that somebody's lying. It cannot be that even if they saw the same vision, the same chazon and the same chalom, each one would describe what they saw using a different language, using different terminology. No two people speak exactly the same. So this, the Chumash says in Parshas Bahaloscha, this was only so regarding Emiya Niriachim Hashem Machaloy Madababo. Any other Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu sees a chazon and he has to interpret it using his own language. Lokein Avdi Moshe Pe'al Pe'al Dababo. Moshe Rabbeinu was given direct dictation, Oisius and Ekudus. That's what the Kedusha Slevi quotes from Kabbalah sources. Moshe Rabbeinu was given direct dictation, Oisius and Ekudus, direct dictation, word for word and letter for letter. The Gemara is Medayik Dinim from extra letters in Chumash, or missing letters in Chumash. So obviously the Chumash is directly dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. He's not using his own language when he delivers the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. So this is exactly what we mean. We have 13 Ikori HaAmuna. The Rambam lists off what he considers are the 13 Ikori HaAmuna. So one of them is that Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than that of the other prophets. What does it mean on a higher level? It means Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+, and Yeshaya gets an A, and Yechezkel gets an A-, and what is Amos and Avadia? They get a B+, and someone gets a C, and someone gets a D. What the Rambam is giving grades to the Nevi'im, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. So the answer is no. The Rambam is telling us what the Gemara tells us. The only Navi who was given Torah u'mitzvahs means mitzvahs that are binding throughout all of future generations. Rashi writes in his commentary on the opening pasuk in Parshas Tzav, "Ein loshen tzav loshen ziris miyad ulederus." Rashi is quoting from the Tanoim in the Sifra in the Torah's Kohanim. that mitzvah is a technical term that only applies when a din is binding throughout all the future generations. The only prophet, the only Navi from all of the Nevi'im that we had throughout the years of our history, there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os, the only Navi who was given Dinim L'Doiros was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the only one who was given mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations. The other Nevi'im, the other prophets, were merely given Hayru Ashur. That's exactly the difference between Nevuah on the one hand and Torah mitzvahs on the other hand. Nevuah by definition means Hayru Ashur. And Torah mitzvahs means Miyad Uladaris. It's binding for all of you, future generations. The Rambam composed the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he lists off what, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam has the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off what are the 14 rules and regulations, what are the 14 klalim, the 14 shoroshim, to determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan HaMitzvahs or not. So the first rule that he gives is that we only include mitzvahs min HaTorah. Mitzvahs min HaRabbanon are not to be included in the 613. The second rule the Rambam has is you only include a mitzvah min HaTorah which is binding the Doritz. If you had a Hayra Shor in Mitzrayim on Erev Pesach before Yetzias Mitzrayim, everyone had a mitzvah shor to knock on a next door neighbor's door and ask for matanis. So that doesn't apply bizman hazeh. It's not even a midas chasidus bizman hazeh. To ask on the next door neighbor's door, on a nachri's door, to ask for matanis. There's no such mitzvah today. That was merely a Hayru Ashur. So all of the other Nevi'im were given only Hayru Ashur. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes was given Hayru Ashur, and sometimes was given Dinim L'Doiros. So that's what the Kedusha Slevi explains. Koy Amar Hashem means this is approximately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Means I saw a chalom, I saw a chazon, Amar HaNevuah, and I'm interpreting it using my own language, my own description, with the Ruach HaKadosh Asher Olai. I'm interpreting that chazon and that chalom. So the maximum you can say is Koy Amar Hashem. So all the other Nevi'im were only on the level of Koy Amar Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes also got Hayru Ashur. Moshe Rabbeinu says Koy Amar Hashem kachatzos halayla ani yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim. He's not saying a din l'doros. He's announcing in advance HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause Makas Becheres exactly at midnight. So that's a Nevuah. That's not a din l'doros. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given a direct dictation on that. He was given a chazon and a chalom, and he introduces his interpretation by saying Koy Amar Hashem. But Moisef Aleihem Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition, Moshe Rabbeinu was given a lot of dinim that are only Hayru Ashur. The din that the knock on the next to the neighbor's door and to ask for matanis, not to leave over the mon till the next morning. There were a lot of Hayru Ashur. But in addition to the Hayru Ashur, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the 613 mitzvahs that are binding the Doris. So that was already given Pel Pel Dababo. That was given direct dictation, Osios and Akudis. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu introduces the delivery of the Nebuah by saying, Zeh HaDavar HaShatziv Hashem. This is direct dictation. Like today's Parsha, the laws of Nedarim and Shavuos, Adinam Tad Anoig L'Doris. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was given, a direct dictation on that. So he introduces it by saying, Zeh HaDavar HaShatziv Hashem. The Kedusha Slevi has such a similar comment, it's really a continuation, and the two psukim in Parshas Bo. It says in Parshas Bo that the Jewish people listened to the instructions that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them. Everybody knocked on the next door neighbor's door, on the doors of the Nochrim, and asked for matonis. They said, we're leaving. Doesn't mean v'shoala to borrow. Ki ishalish me imreyehu is to borrow. Lishal me im. Shoala lishal me eis means to ask for a matana. So they were supposed to knock on the next door neighbor's doors and tell them we're leaving. Today is going to be Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're leaving.
it's only fair you should give us matanis. So they all knocked on the next neighbor's doors. So the pasuk says, "Bnei Yisrael also kidevar Moshe." They followed the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, also on Parshas Bo'i, instructed Bnei Yisrael to bring Pesach Mitzrayim. So Korban Pesach, in principle, is a din which is noyeg l'doiros. There are a lot of aspects of Pesach Mitzrayim which were only Haruah Shoah. They had to eat the Korban Pesach. Masnechem chagurim nalechem beraglechem emakelchem beyetchem achaltem osa bichipozen. This was only a din l'shoah. This was not a din l'doiros. Or the other din, al yetziish mepesach beisar ad boker. That's only a din l'hoirah shoah. That was only a din at Pesach Mitzrayim. That wasn't a din that applied. The Doris, the Mishnah in Psochim and the Tosefta in Psochim explain which aspects of Korban Pesach Mitzrayim were the Doris and which aspects were merely Hayruah Shoah. But in principle, Korban Pesach is a mitzvah the Doris. So by Korban Pesach, the Pasuk says in Parashas Bo, Bnei Yisrael also, Kashatziba Hashem is Moshe. So the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchever, points out the contrast between the two psukim. With respect to Bezos Mitzrayim, Tanaka on the next door neighbor's door test for Matonis, there it doesn't say Bnei Yisrael also Kashatziva Hashem. That wasn't technically speaking a mitzvah. A mitzvah is only something which is Noyeg L'doiros. So that the Pasuk can't say Bnei Yisrael also Kashatziva Hashem is Moshe. It says Bnei Yisrael also Kidavar Moshe, as Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed them. But in connection with the Korban Pesach, most of the dinim of the Korban Pesach Mitzrayim were dinim l'doiros. A lot of the details were Haruah Shoah, but because most of the halachas of Pesach Mitzrayim were dinim l'doiros, so there the pasuk says, "Bnei Yisrael also kashatziva Hashem es Moshe." That was technically speaking a mitzvah. Korban Pesach is a mitzvah l'doiros. There were aspects of Pesach Mitzrayim that were only Haruah Shoah, but the main element of the Pesach Mitzrayim was a mitzvah hanahegas l'doiros. So this background helps us to understand Pshat and the Psukim and the end of Parshas Maaseh. This week is Matas and Maaseh. Helps us understand. In yesterday's Sedra, the Chumash describes the story of the Benois Tzlovchot, that they came in the Esther Shaila whether they get Yerusha. So Moshe Rabbeinu said yes, they're entitled to Yerusha. A man dies if he has no son, so the daughters get the Yerusha. In next week's Sedra, in Maaseh, the Chumash says Benois Tzlovcha were from Shevet Menashe. So the heads of Shevet Menashe came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a Shaila. What's going to be? Daughters of Tzlovcha are going to get a Yerusha. Then they're going to marry somebody from a different Shevet. What's going to be if they'll die? They won't have any children, so the husband will yarish and the wife. That's a machlekes hatanaim, whether habal yarish is ishtoi is a din d'araisa or a din d'rabbanan. So half of the tanaim in this machlekes is the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam paskins habal yarish is ishtoi is only mid d'rabbanan, and the Ravid paskins like the other tanaim that habal yarish is ishtoi is a din d'araisa. So the machlekes hatanaim is how to read this story. Shevet Menashe, the heads, Rashi, Shevet Menashe, came to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked the Shiloh, what's going to be? But the Tzlovchot will marry out of their Shevet, and if they'll die, the husband will yarshin them. That's on the assumption that Abal Yarish as Ishtoi was a din d'oraisa, it was noyeg already. If you hold not, so if you hold Abal Yarish as Ishtoi is only a din d'rabbanan, so then the Shiloh that the Rashi Matei Menashe raised was a different Shaila. That the Benois Tzlovchot will marry out of their Shevet, they'll have children. And the children are the Mishpachosam Leveis Avosam. Mishpacha Savkuri Mishpacha. The children will belong to a different Shevet. The children won't be from Shevet Menashe. So if the mothers will die, the Benois Tzlovchot will die, and the children will get the Yerusha, so then the Yerusha will be out of the Shevet. So what's going to be? So Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Haruah Shoah, Chopas Yereshes Nachla, any girl who yarshins, any girl doesn't have any brothers. And if the father dies and the girls get Yerusha, so they're not permitted to marry out of the Shevet.
Gemara says that this was only a Hirashah that applied in that generation. Does not apply Bisman Hazeh. What does it mean in that generation? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash explains it only lasted this Hirashah that a girl who gets Yerusha is not allowed to marry out of the Shevet only applied the first 14 years after they crossed over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. The Psukim say in Sefer Yoshua that it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says in Erechin that the Chachamim had a tradition, a historical tradition, oral tradition, doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh, that it took another 7 years to complete the Chalukas Ha'aretz. They had to divide the Shvatim, and then the Mishpachais, and then the Yechidim. And only after the completion of the Kibush V'Chiluk, the 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, the 7 years of dividing the land completely, so then Eretz Yisrael had the full status of Kedushas Haaretz. So at the time of the Gemar HaChaluka, at the end of the 14 years, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Shevet, the area that's supposed to be designated as Shevet Menashe should be held by people from Shevet Menashe. The area designated as Shevet Yehuda should be held by people from Shevet Yehuda. And Abbas Yereshes Nachlo shouldn't marry out of the Shevet until the Chalukah is completed. But then the Gemara tells us on Chamishasa Ba'av of the 14th year, that's a month and a half before Tishrei, on Chamishasa Ba'av of the 14th year of the Shevesha Kopshu and the Shevesha Chilku, so Moshe Rabbeinu announced Shoin Ginuk, the whole land is already divided. Shevet Menashe is in the hands of Shevet Menashe. Shevet Zvulun is in the hands of Shevet Zvulun. So now whoever wants can marry whatever Shevet they want. And because the restrictions of marriage were lifted, so that's why Chamishasa Ba'av was established as a Yantif. It was a very jolly day. The Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, Lo hayu lahem Yisrael yamim tovim kechamishasa ba'av kiyom ha-kippurim. The Yom Kippur and Chamishasa Ba'av were the two happiest days, two jolliest days in the Jewish calendar, because they used to make all the shiduchim on these days. So the Gemara says, what's the shaychus of shiduchim to Chamishasa Ba'av? Because hutru shvatim deinasei zeh bozeh. At this hayru ashoa, chobas yereshes nachlo is not permitted to marry out of a shevet, to be so restricted, you can't fall in love with a boy that you want to and marry. You have to dafke marry someone from your shevet, that's very uncomfortable. So the simcha was on Chamishasa Ba'av of the 14th year, Shavri Yisrael Sayard, and that Hayra Shah was lifted. So the problem is, the Pasuk says at the end of Masay, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives the response to the issue that was raised by the Roshei Matei Menashe, it says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. How can it say Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem if it's a Hayra Shah? We just said Zeh HaDavar. Is only Moshe Rabbeinu introduces his nevuah with Zeh HaDavar when it's a din l'dayrus. When it's a Hayra Shah, Moshe Rabbeinu can't say Zeh HaDavar. He didn't get direct dictation. He only saw a chazon and a chalom. So this, the Gemara understands that this parsha of Chalbas Yereshes Nachla does not apply bizman hazeh. It only applied in the first 14 years, Mishavri Yisrael HaYarden, till the Gemara of the Kibush V'chiluk. So how come the Pasuk introduces this din by writing Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem? Zeh HaDavar only applies if it's a din l'doros, and the term Asher Tziva Hashem doesn't say Asher Dibar Moshe. Asher Tziva Hashem is also a technical term that has the connotation of a din l'doros. So it's a Pella. So the answer to this Pella is that there's another Pella, that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and Chumash points out. The simple reading of the Psukim and the Parsha indicate that the issue was raised by the Rosh Hamate of Shevet Menashe. That what's going to be? The Bnei Tzlavchot are going to get a big Yerusha, and then they're going to marry out of their Shevet, and then a big chunk of Shevet Menashe will not be held in the hands of Shevet Menashe. So that's not right.
So Moshe Rabbeinu is told, okay, the Ledinas, they're not allowed to marry out of their Shevet. That's the simple reading of the story. So the Gemara says that's not correct. This prohibition that you're not allowed to marry out of the Shevet only applied to other girls who got Yerusha from their father. But the Bnei Tzlavcha themselves were permitted to marry out of their Shevet. Chaim HaKadosh and Chumash at the end of Parshas Maaseh, he asks, what motivated the Tanoim to make such a statement? Where in the world did they get such an idea from? That the Bnei Tzlavcha themselves were permitted to marry out of the Shevet. Only a different Bas Yereshes Nachla was not allowed. How can they say such a wild thing? The simple reading of the Parsha seems to indicate that. So the Pashta says that this is exactly what was bothering the Tanoim. The Pasuk says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. Zeh HaDavar means it's a din l'doros, direct dictation. Asher Tziva Hashem, it doesn't say Zeh HaDavar Asher Dibar Moshe. Asher Tziva Hashem means it's a mitzvah and a heges mi'ada l'doros. So how can it be? But the Chachamim had a tradition that v'chol bas yereshes nachla is only a hayru ashur that ends on chamishasa ba'av of the 14th year, Mishavar Yisrael Asayarde. So that's what the Gemara understood. Zeh HaDavar Sheitziva Hashem Latov B'Einehim Tehiyenu L'Noshim. The Bnei Tzlavchot can marry anybody they want. That's the Din L'Doros. The Din L'Doros that any girl has the right to marry anyone, Jewish boy she falls in love with, doesn't have to be from her Shevet. The Din L'Doros is what was told to Bnei Tzlavchot. The next pasuk, v'chol bas yereshes nachla, that doesn't say zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. That was the hayru ashur. But the first pasuk, which reads latov b'yaneim tehiyena l'noshim, they have the right to marry anybody they want, that is taka the din l'doros. And the din l'doros applied to the bnei tzlavcha. The second half of that pasuk that says rak Mishpachas Avihim, the Bnei Tzlavcha should marry someone from their family. So the Gemara says that was an Eitzah Taiva. That wasn't the din. We see today in Eretz Yisrael, let's say a Sephardi boy marries an Ashkenazi girl. So sometimes you have problems. There's friction. You have a Hasidish boy marries a Misnagdish girl. Or a Yekin marries a Hungarian. Or a Litvak marries a Galiciana. If you have a different background, depending how different the backgrounds are, if you have a major difference in background, so it may cause friction in Shalom Bayis. So the Gemara says it's always a smart thing to marry someone who has a similar background to yours. So that's how the Gemara understood the pasuk. Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem to the Bnei Tzlavcha. This is the din l'doros that applies to them, like in anybody, in any other girl in the future generations. They can marry anyone they fall in love with. Rakman Mishpacha Savim, we recommend that they should marry someone from a similar background. What do they have to look for trouble? They have problems with Shalom Bayis. And the next pasuk that says, Chobas Yereshes Nachla, any other girl other than Bnei Tzlavcha who gets a Yerusha, she's not allowed to marry out of the Shevet. Not like Bnei Tzlavcha that it was just a recommendation. And it's a type of kamash malam to have similar backgrounds. Chobas Yereshes Nachla, any other girl who gets a Yerusha, was forbidden to marry out of a Shevet that was as a Hayra Shor. That was not as a Din L'Doros. That's obviously how the Tanoim read the Pesukim. Adirabba, they understood Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem are both technical terms that imply that the din that we're formulating is really a din l'doros. This seems to be what motivated the Chachamim to come up with this einfal of a chiddush din that, strictly speaking, Bnei Tzlavcha were permitted to marry out of the Shevet. Rasha was only for everybody else in that generation. Today, you take the story of Bnei Tzlavcha to indicate that if you pressure the rabbis enough, so they'll give in to the women's rights. Or if you pressure the Rabbanu Shel Olam enough, depends whether they believe in Torah Shemayim or not. Some of them feel that they pressured Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu makes up all the dinim, so if you pressure Moshe Rabbeinu,
Rabbeinu will give in to the women's rights. And others believe that they're pressuring the Rabbeinu Shalom, so Rabbeinu Shalom gave in to the women's rights. So the Gemara in Yesh Neuchlin has a totally different understanding of the whole story. The question had nothing to do with whether women have the right to get Yerusha. B'nai Tzolofcha knew that all along. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that, and the B'nai Tzolofcha knew that as well. Only Shaila B'nai Tzolofcha were asking was the following. Their father Tzolofcha ben Chefer was a Bechor. He was the oldest of the children of Chefer. Chefer left sons. So the sons got the Yerusha. So there's a din that a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim, a double portion. Means if a man has five sons, instead of dividing the Yerusha into five equal shares, he divided it into six shares, and the Bechor gets a double portion. The man leaves 10 sons, so instead of dividing the Yerusha into 10 portions, he divided it into 11 portions, and the Bechor gets 2 elevenths. He gets two, as if he were two children, he gets two portions, 2 shares. So the Mishnah points out that there's a limit, there's a limitation. The Bechor is only entitled to Tishnayim Bechor Lasheh Yimotzei Lo. Only what the father had at the time that he died. Let's say the father bought a ticket to win a lottery, and after the father dies, then they had the drawing. So the father hadn't yet won the lottery ticket. That money was only acquired by the Yerusha, by the estate, after the death of the father. Well, let's say the father had lent out money during his lifetime, and he didn't collect it till after he died. And the money was collected by the estate after the father died. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. We pask, and that's called ra'ui, it's not called buchzak. The Bechor does not get tishnayim. So the Gemara quotes a Tana who says, this was never a question that the daughters get the Yerusha. That the Bnei Tzolofcha knew that, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. It wasn't a question at all of women's rights. They knew all these dinim. They were out for the Pishnayim. The Bnei Tzolofcha were asking Moshe Rabbeinu, my father Tzolofcha was the Bechor to his father. What did Chefer, what did the grandfather have already? What did they have? That Bezus Mitzrayim, that Bezus Hayam, that a little bit, each one had a sukkah that they traveled with them, they had underwear, they had pajamas, they had a suitcase that they were schlepping with them as they were traveling. The Membeis Masois and the Midmar traveling from one city to the other, to the 42 different cities. Alright, so the father, Tzolofcha, is entitled to a double portion of the underwear, in the schach and the sukkah, with the pajamas. No great shakes, there isn't so much there. But there was real estate involved, there was Eretz Yisrael involved. So they were asking Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the story of Eretz Yisrael? When the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu, Kum hisalech ba'aretz l'arka ulirachpa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, ki l'cho etnena, because I will give it to you. Was that a promise that was going to be fulfilled in the distant future? Someday in the distant future, I'll give your descendants Eretz Yisrael. Thus haste after Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled the promise of Kiluchah Etenenu. Or should we assume not so? Kum Hisalach Baras L'Arka Ulirachma means walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And by walking around, you will acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael, take off from the yad. Walking around the borders constituted a kinyan chazoken. And Avraham Avinu was kind of Eretz Yisrael. And when Avraham Avinu passed away, the whole Eretz Yisrael had Yerusha to Yitzchak Avinu. When he passed away, it went to Yankov Avinu. When he passed away, it went to the Yud Bei Shvatim. And then it went to Chefer. And when Chefer died in the Midbar, he had a whole bunch of sons, and Tzolofcha was the Bechor, so the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim in the real estate, not just Pishnayim in the pajamas, and the schach, and the sukkah, and the underwear, and the Bezus Mitzrayim, and the Bezus Hayam, the little bit that they had. No! The big money, the real estate. That was the Gemara in service, that was the Shaila B'nai Tzolofcha were asking. are they entitled to get? Was their father, Tzlofchan ben Chebu, who was a Bchor, was he only entitled to get Pishnayim in what the father, Chefer, the grandfather, Chefer, had in his suitcases? Or was Tzlofchan even entitled to Pishnayim in Eretz Yisrael? Was Eretz Yisrael Ra'ui? Is it like the lottery ticket that wasn't drawn until later? Eretz Yisrael wasn't acquired by the Jewish people till Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land. Or should we assume, and that's the maskan, Eretz Yisrael mechzaka simi avisenim in vayis Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu walked around the border, he already acquired ownership of the whole Eretz Yisrael. And when he died, he went to Yerusha, to Yitzchak, and to Yankiv, and to the Shvatim. So his mamish muchzak, it wasn't raw at all. And that's how the Tanoim understood the Pshat and the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, and yesterday Sedra, when the Bnei Tzlofchad raised the question, are they entitled to get the Yerusha? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Nason titein lahem achuzas nachalo. Why a kefal loshen? Why does it say twice, Nason titein? So the Tanaim understand that's a reference to the Pishnayim. The father Tzlofchad was a Bchor by Chefer, and the Shaila was he only entitled to Pishnayim on what Chefer had in his suitcase? Or is he even, was Tzlofchad entitled to Pishnayim on the share in Eretz Yisrael? So Moshe Rabbeinu's response was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes. The son titen lahem achuzas nachla in Eretz Yisrael. Achuzas nachla means the karka, the real estate. They are entitled because Eretz on Mechzak Hasim Yavaseinu in Rois Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu walked around the borders, that constituted the Kinyan Chazaka. So that's how the Tanaim understood the whole story of the Bnei Tzlofchad. It wasn't at all a question of women's rights. The women are entitled to get Yerusha when there are no sons, there are only daughters. But I Tzlofchad were Chachmoni is saying. They knew that, the Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. They weren't discovering anything new in Parshas Pinchas as far as Hilchas Yerusha. The only subject was about Pishnayim in Eretz Yisrael. And the answer that was given was yes, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. In the days that Avraham Avinu walked around the border, the Chazanish points out that we never lost our kinyan. Usually there is a principle of kibush melchama. The Gemara in Gittin has a whole sugya that if one nation goes to war against another nation, whether they had the Rabbi Issa, whether they had the right to wage war, didn't have the right to wage war, doesn't matter. Whichever country wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property that belonged to the other country. So the Chazanish points out that this is an international principle of Kibush Muhammad. If Bnei Yisrael win a war against Nachrim, or Nachrim win a war against Bnei Yisrael, or one Goyish country wins a war against another Goyish country. The Gemara says, Zaman Amoyov, Tiharu B'Sichon. Sichon Melech Amori waged war against Zaman Amoyov, and he acquired ownership of their territory. Therefore, when Bnei Yisrael waged war against Sichon, and Bnei Yisrael won the war, so they were permitted to take Ammon and Moab. Usually, the din should be, they're not allowed to take from Ammon and Moab. Al-Pizgah B'Mochab, they're not allowed to take their karka, but over here, it no longer belonged to Ammon and Moab. It belonged to Sichon. Sichon acquired it based on Kibush Mochamah. So the Chazanish points out, based on Gemara's, there's only one property in the whole wide world that's not subject to Kibush Muhammad. That's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu, and he was promised with a Shavua, with a Krisis Bris, and the Krisis Bris was repeated to Yitzchak, and the Bris was repeated to Yankov Avinu. Zachatis B.C. Yaakov, Be'afres B.C. Yitzchak, Be'afres B.C. Avraham, Esker, Be'ahoretz Esker. The bris on Eretz Yisrael was repeated to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. A bris means forever and ever. Al Kopan, the Ramban explains the Chumash, that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Bnei Yisrael, the Oilam Void, not subject to Kibush Muhammad. It's not that in Shnas Topshin Ches, when they established the Medina, the British were kind enough to give over Eretz Yisrael to the Bnei Yisrael. It never belonged to the British.
during the 70 years of Golus Bavel, it didn't belong to Bavel either. It belonged to Bnei Yisrael all along. Bnei Yisrael never lost their bailus in Eretz Yisrael. From the days of Avraham Avinu, Arayim Azeh, we never lost our ownership. And it was considered Muchzok all along. It wasn't Stam Rahui. It was Muchzok. Muchzok means it was already under the possession of the fathers, and the son, who's a Bchor, is entitled to get a Bishnai.